Okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and preach it if it'd be okay. What kind of what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8. Now listen, folks. If this flops, it's my wife's fault. She wrote it. So I'm just kidding. This is all the notes I have right here. It's this blue writing. That's it. So it won't be long. But we're going to read Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to read first 10 verses. And I want to preach to you just a few minutes on the recipes for a good church. The recipe for a good church. And this church has been bragged on by other independent Bible-believing missionaries. And I'm sure you guys got all of this in line. But this is what the Lord kind of laid out to me and laid on my heart while I was reading through Nehemiah and doing some prep and delivery courses for Brother Peacock. So we're going to read the first 10 verses, and then we'll get right into it. Let's pray before we get started, though. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, thank you for Brother Stevens allowing me to come. And Lord, thank you for the questions that these folks have. And God, I, Lord, just pray, God, that I was transparent with them. And Lord, just want to be real to these folks. And what they see is what they get with me. And Lord, I do ask you to help me preach this evening. God, help me not say anything dumb or stupid. Lord, but only those things that might bring honor and glory to your precious holy name. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, Nehemiah chapter 8, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. On his right hand and on his left hand, Pediah and Mishael and Malachiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub. We'll skip that verse number 7. So they read the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is at Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I told you I want to preach just a few minutes on the recipe for a good church. And I've heard, like I said, I've heard the bragging about this church. I've heard your pastor preach down there at the blowout, And I've heard good things about this from other missionaries that have came through here. And I'm sure you have a lot of these things in place, but I just want to point out to you, the first thing that I see here that you need in order to have a good church is you need to have unity. Now, I'm not talking about this ecumenical nonsense that they got, like bringing the Catholic Church and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and all this other type of stuff to have a just this one world outreach type thing. I'm just talking about inside this local body, inside Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there should be some unity among the brethren and among the sisters of Christ. You guys are going to spend eternity, all eternity with each other, and there ought not be any backbiting, there ought not be any slander, there ought not be any aught between you guys. You should be together with unison for one cause, and that is to go out and reach a lost and dying world for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's hard for a church to go into the whole world and preach the gospel if there is no unity inside the walls of the church. The outside folks, the outside religious folks, listen, if they see y'all fighting and tearing each other apart and having certain families stew and certain family stew the other house, listen, they don't want to hear any. They don't want to hear anything you got to say. So the first thing you need to have some unity among the believers, among the folks here, among the membership of a Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if you want to reach the world with the gospel. I'm glad this brother asked me about the King James Bible, because listen, there's a lot of missionaries, there's a lot of preachers, especially over there in Australia. They say that they believe that book, but listen, they don't really believe the book like they say they believe. And that's the second thing you have to have. Out of verse number one here, you have to have the right book. The Bible says, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law unto Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Listen, if you want to know God, if you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to know God for the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, if you want to know what you're supposed to do, if you want to hear the voice of God speaking to you, you have to get in that book. And that book has the words of life. That book has the words for your direction. That book has the calling of God on your life. And listen, you need to have that book, and you need to have that book open, and you need to have that book filtering through your mind, and you need to have that book cleanse your heart and cleanse your mind that you might be able to go out and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, hey, we live in a perverse generation. We live in a generation where there's pornography all over the billboards and all over the internet and all over the TV. We live in a generation amongst people with unclean lips, like they said over there in Isaiah chapter 6. We live in a communities where blasphemy and them using people using God's name in vain is happening every day of the week, of the year, of every year of our time. And listen, I understand. I used to work in construction, and we always used to have those guys, man, they would use God's name in vain. I'm like, listen, fellas, of all the cuss words out there, do you have to use that one? You're talking about my Savior. You're talking about the one who bled and died for me on Calvary's tree. You're talking about the one who pardoned all my sins. You're talking about the one who is not willing that any should perish. You're talking about the one who died for you, but you keep spitting in his face and you keep rejecting him. Just talking about, hey, you need the right book. And I believe this church stands on the right book. And if you don't know what the right book is, it's the King James Bible. I'm just throwing that out there for you. Amen. But not only do you need a unity, not only do you need the right book, but in verse number two, the Bible says, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. You need a good preacher. You need somebody that's not going to try to tickle your ears. You're going to need somebody that's going to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord God. You're going to need somebody that calls sin, sin. You're going to need somebody that's going to stand behind this pulpit and say, hey, listen, hey, you don't have to kill the messenger. God wrote it. But listen, you're going to call black, black, and white, white. You're going to call a spade a spade. We're not talking about none of this sharing. We're not talking about how we're going to get together and we're going to share what the Bible says. You need somebody that's going to stand up behind the pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord God. Hey, listen, God said it. We don't have to apologize for anything out of that Bible. I hear preachers all the time. They say, oh, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Offend them. They say, I don't want to bring this. Hey, you ain't got to apologize for nothing that's written in that book. God wrote it. And if God wrote it, it's true. You can take that, you can take it right straight to the bank and cash a check, man. It's good. These churches got preachers all across America. They got preachers that just tickle the ears of the folks. They tell them what they want to hear. Nobody wants to hear preaching on your sin. Nobody wants to hear preaching about pornography if you are consumed in the depths of that internet and that TV and all that wickedness. Nobody wants to hear that preaching, but listen, it's good for you. It's good for you. The Bible says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two negatives to a positive. You need a good preacher. I thank the Lord for my pastor. I thank the Lord that God sent Brother Travis Alltop from Carthage, Tennessee, at Brother Ron Ralph. I'm thankful that Brother Ron Ralph took some time with my pastor to teach him the scriptures, and then Brother Alltop came to Bluegrass Pike Baptist Church and taught me some scriptures that I might go to Australia and teach what I've learned to some other young man in Australia, that we might raise up Timothys and Tituses all across Australia, all across here in America, that we might start independent, good, independent, solid, Bible-believing Baptist churches. I'm thankful for my pastor. I was telling them this morning at Brother Grissom's, hey, listen, I understand that we're going to get on that plane and we're going to leave friends and we're going to leave family and we're going to leave acquaintances and we're going to leave our homes and we're going to leave everything that this world has to offer, and we're going to be all in over there in Australia. I realize that we're going to leave all that stuff. The one thing that's going to trouble me the most, the one thing, the void that is going to be in my life, is the fellowship that I've had with my pastor, sitting across from him at his desk, one-on-one, him opening the Bible, me opening the Bible, and him saying, listen, let me teach you the scriptures. That's what I'm going to miss the most. I'm not going to miss my mom as much as my wife might miss her mom. I'm not going to miss my dad as much as my wife might miss her dad. I'm not going to miss the things that are in Kentucky, except for my pastor, because I got a good preacher that tells me like it is and don't sugarcoat it. You need unity, you need the right book, and you need a good preacher. And then also there in verse number 3, he said, and he read, there and before the street that was before the water gate, before the morning unto midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and all the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And I'll say fourthly that you need some good men and some good women in your church to have a recipe for a good church. You need some men and women, you need some husbands and wives, you need some families that say, bless God, we don't care how much opposition we come up against, we don't care how bad it is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We don't care about the persecution, we don't care about the cussing, we don't care about the pushing, we don't care about the shoving, we don't care about anything that this world has to say. Bless God, hey, listen, with God's help, we're going to go out and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need husbands to sit and daddies to sit with their families and give devotions and pray for the children. We need husbands and daddies. Listen, we need some young people to open up that Bible and read and search out the scriptures and find what God's will for your life is. We need some mamas and daddies who would just take some time and disciple their own kids. We need some mamas and daddies who would take their families and go out to the streets and hold them scripture signs and just simply support your pastor and support your church. And we need some husbands and some wives and some families to get together and go door knocking and street preaching and go in the nursing homes and go into the jails and go into the prisons and going out to the regions beyond where the lost folks are. Taking the gospel message outside the walls of this church and out into a lost and dying world. You need unity. You need the right book. You need a good preacher, and you need some good men and women. You need some good young men that are strong, that can help your pastor. Man, what a blessing it is. I look out into a congregation and I see all these young men. I go to a lot of congregations, and the stewards go to a lot of churches. Hey, listen, folks, this right here is not going on all over the place. A lot of places, Brother Stevens, that you go into, there are no men. There are no young men. The teen group and the young men, the young people class or whatever, listen, it's non-existent. What a blessing it is. But God's intent and purpose for you is not just to sit on these chairs and absorb all the teaching that Brother Stevens gives you. It's to go out and preach the gospel. Go out and try to reach a lost and dying world to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Not only do you need unity, not only do you need the right book, not only do you need a good preacher, not only do you need good men and women, but the Bible says here in verse number 4 and 5 in Ezra, we'll read verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and he opened it, and all the people stood up. You need good preaching. You ain't getting it right now, but listen, I can assure you probably, hey, listen, on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, most Sundays you're getting some good, solid preaching. You need good preaching to, to strengthen you up. Listen, we're in a fight. We're in a battle against this world. Listen, and we come to church. Listen, we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school on Sunday morning and Sunday night to get filled up to last till Wednesday. We come in Wednesday and we get that preaching that we can have enough strength and get filled up that we can live Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to come right back in here Sunday and do the very same thing. You got to have good preaching. Like I tell you, hey, listen, folks, we've been in a lot of places. They do Sunday school and they gather around a table and they say, well, we always figure we share a little with, share a little bit. Tell us what you think. Who cares what I think? What does the Bible say? What does God say? And if God said it, you take it to the bank and you believe it. I can't explain all this stuff in here, but I believe it. I believe all of it, even though I can't explain it. But not only do you need unity, not only do you need the right book, not only do you need a good preacher, not only do you need good young men and women, not only do you need good preaching, but you need a prayer life. The Bible said in Ezra, bless the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. We were just in a prayer meeting where folks were talking about how they have cancer and how they might lose their jobs and how they're being persecuted at their jobs for witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, there's folks in there that have wayward children. They have folks that have turned their back on the Lord. We have folks that are just in a mess, and we have parents that are troubled about their children. We have children who are troubled about their parents' spiritual life. We have problems that's going on in the church. We have folks, like I said, that have cancer. Hey, listen, in every church you go to, there's always a prayer list full of folks who have cancer. Now, how are we going to reach God? Listen, we're not like the Catholic Church. We don't have to go into the little priest booth over there and confess our sins to that man over there in that booth. That doesn't nobody. We have a clear line, and our mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, God wants us to fellowship with Him. God wants us to open up the Bible. God wants us to lift up our voices unto Him in the prayer. God wants to hear from us. The Bible says, "In the morning, early in the morning, I sought the face." But you know the thing lacking amongst the independent Baptist crowd? Prayer. Prayer. We got time for that. Preachers getting up in the pulpit and they're trying to preach a message under their own strength without the help of God. We have folks getting up every morning and going to work under their own strength without God's help. That's a recipe for disaster. Ain't nothing good in us. But man, thank God we can lift up our voices to God and He hears us. You need a prayer life. Verse number 9 says, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. I'll say that you need a soft and tender heart. When's the last time that you can remember that you have a lost family member that, man, I'm telling you, they just seem like they continue to turn their back on God, and you can, and they won't hear the gospel, and you, like I said, you got wayward children, whatever the case is. When's the last time that you just stopped and wept for your family members? When's the last time that you stopped and wept for your church family? When's the last time that you stopped and wept for your kids? When's the last time, kids, that you stopped and wept for your parents? When's the last time you stopped and wept for Coon Rapids? When's the last time you stopped and wept for Minneapolis? When's the last time that you stopped and wept for these missionaries that you support? Listen, you read their prayer letters every month, some are every 2 months, but listen, you read their prayer letters and you see in there of a need that they have and how this missionary's heart is broken because the people, for the people that God's called them to, when's the last time that you stopped your life and just got down on your knees and wept for that missionary and those folks over there on that foreign mission field? You gotta have a soft and tender heart. This world is going to hell. And we keep along our day like we don't even care. It's like we're going to heaven. We don't care if anybody else goes with us or not. That's how we act. Soft and tender heart. And then lastly, the Bible says in verse number 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Lastly, I'll say, listen, whether you support us or not, whether you ever take on another missionary, the Bible says we're to send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Listen, we've been eating the fat and drinking the sweet all the days of our lives. We can go out to the marketplaces. We can go street preaching freely. We can come and worship in a building freely with no persecution. There's folks in China that are meeting tonight in an underground church in an apartment building. I know the Morales is over there in Israel. They're meeting in a house. And listen, if the government finds out what they're doing over there, hey, listen, they're going to cut their head off. They'll kick them out of the country. They'll arrest them. They'll put them in prison, whatever the case. Listen, we've been eating the fat and drinking the sweet all of the days of our existence. The Bible says we're to send a portion unto them for whom nothing is prepared. There's folks in Norway who have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard a testimony in the prayer meeting that there are folks right here in this area who have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are folks in Australia who have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until 30 years old, I never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ growing up in Danville, Kentucky, right in the belt, the buckle of the Bible Belt. In Kentucky, in the South, where there's a Baptist church on every corner, I never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're a debtor to both the Greeks and the barbarians. And we owe it to a lost and dying world to tell them of the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. The gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. So the recipes for a good church, you need unity. You need the right book. You need a good preacher. You need good men and women. You need good preaching. You need a prayer life. You need a soft and tender heart. And you need to have a burden and a vision for a lost and dying world. If we're going to ever do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. Amen.